Hallelujah. How many really have that testimony? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. How many want the Spirit of the Lord to be here? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Let your presence fill the atmosphere. Anybody want God's presence this afternoon? Anybody want God to touch? Lord, you're welcome here and we thank you. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord today and we thank God for all of you being here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. One of the best things that ever happened to us was the day God saved our souls. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. The day Jesus washed my sins away. And he gave me a fresh start. How many know that it really still is power in the blood? How many know there's power in the blood? Amen. We just bless the Lord for all of you, and we thank God for everyone. Give yourselves a hand praise. Come on, give yourselves a hand praise. Hallelujah. Because if there were none of you, there would be no agape. Amen. And we don't count numbers. We don't count your importance. We're just glad you're here. Amen. The Bible said, even though you may consider yourself to be the least, every part is necessary in the church. So we thank God for all of you. Amen. Thank God for my wife. Amen. And help her through her situation this past week. She's still good. Amen. We bless the Lord for all of you and everyone in their perspective, respective places. Amen. The elders, the ministers, the deacons, the mothers of the church. Everyone, even now, to those that have cleaned the church, we thank God for it. Amen. So can we just say praise the Lord? We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Jude. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to skip down and read verses 24 and 25. Amen. As possible, I will read more after that. But right now, verses 1 through 7, then 24 through 25. Amen. Anybody glad to be saved? Amen. I say, anybody glad to be saved? Amen. We bless the Lord for that. I see Shirley. Shirley didn't see. Shirley probably thought I was firing the other day, but I was going to that store. I went to the electrical place. She's like, what is going on my street? I saw her looking. Amen. But I was going to the electrical store. We thank God for seeing you. And amen. We bless the Lord for seeing Sister Davina back. Amen. God is a keeper. That's going to be our, actually is our message today. God is a keeper. Amen. Even when you don't think you can be kept, God will still keep you. Amen. So we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to read verses 24 and 25, and then afterwards we read further. Amen. Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only law of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved an everlasting chain unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering vanishes. Well, let's go ahead and read verses 17 also. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye be loved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Lord, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you that you are welcome in this place. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your leading. Lord, we thank you for the anointing. For only the anointing can destroy the yoke. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for being our wise God, our Savior. And Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus that in the middle of it all, Lord, you're still with us. Lord, we thank you that through hard times, Lord, you're still with us. Lord, we thank you that in times of uncertainty, Lord, you're still with us. And for that, we say thank you. Now, Lord, we ask you this afternoon to speak. Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. Lord, some soul is on the fence. Lord, some soul is on the border of giving up. Lord, speak a word. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you know how the adversary, the devil, had a desire to have that he might sift us as wheat. But Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you keep us, Lord. We pray that you bless us. Lord, we pray that you keep us. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you make a way out of no way. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we bless your name and we thank you. Hallelujah. For being our God and for being a way maker. Lord, we say thank you. Now, Lord, speak this afternoon for thy servant here. And can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. Truly we bless the Lord. We thank God this afternoon for being a mighty good God. And I don't know how many of you are keeping up with all of the affairs that are happening across the world. Amen. The terrorism and everything that's going on. A lot of people are afraid. But how many know our God is a keeper? I said, how many know God's a keeper? The psalmist said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. In the midst of hardship, God is a keeper. Amen. And our message this afternoon is that God is a keeper. Amen. But in order for God to keep you, you have to want to be kept. God can keep you if you want to be kept. I heard so many people say, well, I'm afraid to make a stand for Jesus because I don't know if I can make it. If you have a desire to be kept, God will keep you. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. And the thing is that when you think of how the Lord, how much the Lord went through, how the Lord suffered for us to be saved, do you think God brought us this far to leave us? I heard the song say, God didn't build a home in us just to move away. And God didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. So God is a keeper. Amen. When things are uncertain and we don't know where to turn, I heard somebody say, I can run to the rock. The psalmist said, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, when trial on every side, Lord, when I can't find any release, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Anybody know what the rock is? The rock is? Come on, the rock is? The rock is Jesus. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Our scripture reading once again is out of the book of Jude. And we know that Jude is the half brother of Jesus. Amen. But what I like about the apostles, is they never shifted their attention to them, but they always shifted on their relationship with the Lord. They always shifted their attention back on the Lord. So Jude said, I am a servant. I'm a bond servant. He said, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And the brother of James, who also was the Lord's half-brother, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and God can keep you. You're not only sanctified. A lot of people say, well, I got saved. But the scripture says, not only will God keep you, but God will preserve you. God will keep you if you want to be kept and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the, there's only one salvation. I don't care what they propagate or what they teach. There's only, can we say one salvation? Amen. The scripture said one Lord, one faith. There's only one. One God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and most of all, he is in you all. The Bible said that we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Not the unity of the people, not the unity of our mind, but the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's only one salvation. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, the word that for earnestly that the writer used is like a wrestler that's fighting for a position. He said, in order for you to stay in this faith, it's going to take some effort. Amen. You're going to have to contend for this faith. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. So when God saved you, the devil said, you won't be saved long, because I'm out to get you. How many know that once God saved us, we became public enemy number one of the devil? Hallelujah. The devil had but one desire. He said, I'm coming after you. Hallelujah. Because I don't believe God can keep you. But how many know today that if you love God, and if you love God, but you got to put forth some effort to be saved. Yes, the scripture said we ought to work out our own salvation. A lot of times we get saved and we say, oh, now I can sit back and relax. Don't you know the moment you got saved, the devil lost you, and he was determined that whatever it takes, I'm going to get you back. Hallelujah. So we get saved and we relax. No, that's the time we need to be sober, be vigilant, because I am a sinner and the devil is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Somebody said that God bless me and called me to the ministry, and I'm a preacher now, so I got it easy. No, God wants you even more. Amen. So when we get in church and we get in positions of authority, whether we are an elder, a deacon, a mother, a pastor, a sister pastor, praise leader, usher, the devil wants to get you. And he has but one desire. He's like, if I can get you to turn your back. Now the devil has always been in the fight with who? God. Right? From the time the Lord kicked him, he used to be called who? Lucifer. And he was up in heaven as Lucifer. But then he got besides himself. And he decided, he said, I can't see God, but you can see me. So because you can't see God and you see me, you can read about it in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. He said, I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. And God said, what? You think you're going to take my place? So the Lord cast the devil from heaven, and he became And this slick devil, he's a slick devil. You would think of all those angels in heaven, how was he able to convince angels to follow him? Right? They had an insurrection up in heaven. How do you have an insurrection against the very one that created you? But that's the devil's desire. He said, you created me, but I'm about to take your place. So the devil has been in a lover's game with God ever since. And he's determined to get us to worship him. That's why he told Adam and Eve the deception that he used against them. He said, if you disobey God, then you will be like God. So the devil is in the numbers game. He said, if you disobey God, on the day that you disobey him, you will be like God. So the devil's desire from the beginning is trying to make us gods and goddesses. Right? Because when we become a god or a goddess, we place our opinion and our thoughts above God. We say, I know what you're saying, hallelujah, but my opinion is more supreme than your opinion. Because the devil is trying to make us God. So this thing said you have to earnestly contend for the faith that was what? Was delivered to the saints of God. So for there are crept in certain men unaware. Amen. You know that means some people. Even though they call themselves true leaders, they're crept in. That means they came in the side door and the church was not watching. The church was not looking. Amen. It's like I got saved, I prayed, but then I relaxed. And when you relax the most, that's when the devil slips in. He creeps in. He don't run in. He don't come in the front door because you're looking in the front door. Amen. He won't come in the area that you see, but he crept in. As the devil crept in our lives today through false doctrines and unbelief. He says, certain men are crept in unaware, who were before ordained unto this condemnation, and they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. He said, you know what? This is those that teach you, well, you can sin, and don't worry, you can sin as much as you want because God's going to forgive you. You don't have to worry about just God's grace is sufficient. So if you sin, God's grace will cover you. He said, you've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, you can say, well, I just want to get my old my flesh appetites and desire. He said, watch that. That's the devil trying to sneak in. They crept in unaware and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, how do you know? Because they denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying that God can't keep me. God can't make a way for me. God can't do this. He said, don't you deny the Lord. God said, I can do anything but fail. You just be still and know that I'm God. Hallelujah. Man may fail you. People may let you down. God said, but I never fail. He said, I'll be with you always. Even until the end. He said, I'm God. Hallelujah. And I'm God all by myself. So people may fail you, but God will never fail. Don't you deny the Lord. Don't you turn your back on God. So I stop running and I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me?
how magnificent God is. How great God is. It said that Lucifer was able to get one third of the angels in heaven to follow him. But then the scripture said the angels are innumerable. Think about that. There's no count on those angels, but the Lord in his wisdom. How many know if God created something, he knows it? It says the angels are innumerable, meaning you cannot count them. There's no number. But God says a third of them follow Lucifer. And what a mighty God we serve. Right? We can't count it. But God said, don't you know I call earth into existence. He said, all I had to do was speak the word, and everything was formed, and everything is here. So in your situation, now listen, I God spoke this whole world into existence through the spoken word. Don't you know his spoken word can deliver you? God's a keeper. His spoken word made everything that we see. Amen. The universe, they said, millions of light years away. His spoken word made all that. And you mean our problems are too big for the word? That's the devil's desire. He wants us to think our problems are too big for God. But I heard him say, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard? Is your situation too hard for God? Somebody said you gotta try him and see for yourself. So the angels are innumerable, and the Lord casts them down. It says that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The Lord said, now, you don't think you can be kept. He said, I can keep you. He said, now let me show you what you have to do wrong not to be kept. He said, now you have to earnestly contend for the faith. So when we get a challenge, many times we say, oh God, why me? You know what? I read once, it said God gives his biggest battles to his strongest soldiers. God gives his biggest battles to his strongest soldiers. So the devil would take our battle and say, well, God's mad at you. God said, no, I'm going to watch you. You won't carry this because I'm with you. So God said, yeah, it's a trial. Many others, it took them out. But God said, I'm with you. As a matter of fact, any of you all see the terrorists? I don't know if you saw it on the news. The terrorist had his AK-47, and he pulled it. The lady was on the ground, and he was pulling the trigger, but the trigger jammed. I said, God's a keeper. I don't know what you believe in, but the trigger jammed. So he was trying to pull it, and he was the mastermind that created the whole situation, and she got up and ran. I said, God can keep you. Because when they get a big battle, they turn their back on God. That's the devil's desire. So the angels, they keep their first estate. But he said, even Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities round about them in like manner, give themselves up over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of. What's the problem is that these are examples. Example means God left his own records for us not to. Are you with me? God left this on earth not to follow. He said they gave themselves up to strange flesh. And we know that the problem that they had in Sodom and Gomorrah was what? Men with men and homosexuality. So God said, that's not my way. Somebody said, but God is a loving God. Don't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Are you with me? Lasciviousness is, well, I do it and it's all right. God's going to forgive me. He said, don't you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, because when you go that way, then you deny the Lord. So the Lord said, I'm leaving this on example as an example for you. He said, and what is the end of those people? What are those last two words in that verse say? Eternal what? That's God's word. He said, you go that way, you're going to live forever in It's not a little fire. I know they say purgatory, you mean that for a little while. He says eternal fire. Are you with me? So don't believe the devil's lies. Because God left Sodom and Gomorrah and those five, those other cities as an example for us not to follow. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Verse, skip down to verse, well, we all, let's skip down to verse 20 for now, for the sake of time, because we do have some other verses. Actually, let's go back. I got to go through these. I promise I won't go over time. I keep it short. But I believe somebody today needs to have the word from God. So you're not afraid. So many people are afraid to get saved because they say, I don't think I can make it. You can't make it. It's not by might, nor is it by power. But it's by His. If you trust in God's Spirit, if you relinquish your will and give to God, you can make it. Verse 17 said, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own. Now Peter said, these mockers, and this is what mockers are. These are people that like to make fun of the church. They like to make fun of your salvation. They like to make fun of your God. Peter said, in these last days, the mockers are going to come say, so where's the Lord? Since the world prophesied all this, everything continued as they had. He said, you got to watch out for mockers. Amen. Because as sure as God is God, God's word will come to pass. So we got to trust. Don't listen to mockers. Mockers will make fun of your salvation. They'll make fun of your faith. They'll make fun of your God, and they'll make serving God as nothing. Watch out for mockers. Amen? He said, these be they who separate themselves. Sensual, they don't have God's Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, which is praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the... Somebody said, I don't know how I can make it. Are you still in the love of God? Because if you stay in the love of God, then God will keep you. Amen. Even when things are hard, stay with God. Amen. The Lord said, all I have to do is speak a word, and I turn your whole situation around. But you've got to stay in the love of God. Hallelujah. Don't you listen to nobody else. Don't listen to false prophets. Don't listen to false teachers, because their only desire is to get you to turn your back on God. Hallelujah, but you got to stay with God. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to stay with God. Or look at somebody and tell them, you got to stay with God. And tell them if you ain't with God. Listen, God, we're going to talk to each other. You know, your church ought to be fun, right? Say, you got to stay with God. Look at somebody and say, you got to stay with God. Come on, if you're not with God, then you gotta get with God. Tell somebody else, say, if you ain't with God, you gotta get with God. Because you gotta keep yourself in the love of God for God to keep you. Hallelujah. I don't follow man, I don't follow anybody. Somebody said, I'm following Jesus. Hallelujah. And if God tells me to go, I go. Say, how far I go till He tells me to stop. Anybody been following Jesus, but some things have happened and you're not where you ought to be in God like you ought to be. God can't keep you until you get where you ought to be. So a lot of us, we want the benefits, but we don't want to pay the price. Right? It's like, if I got $5,000, I cannot go buy a Lamborghini. I don't care how much I want it. I don't care how much I desire to have a Lamborghini. My $5,000 won't even put gas in that thing. Well, a lot of us have a Lamborghini mind, but we have a Volkswagen. I guess right now Volkswagen ain't the popular Kia, right? Here we're gonna Kia this and Kia that. Right? But God can't keep you if you don't stay in your element. Amen. So you cannot think bigger than what God wants you to be. The Bible says, woe unto man, unto the man that think that he is something when he is nothing. The problem in church, a lot of us have put ourselves way up here and God says, You got too big. And you want to be down there. He said, wait a minute, you're not in me. Right? So when you start elevating yourself that you're so big, you get out of God. How can God keep you when you're not with him? Amen. It's like years ago, that's a bad example, but years ago, our neighborhood where we lived in order for us to be safe to travel, we always had to stay together. And this is a bad example, but it shows the principle. Now, I'm not advocating this. But my wife was there. As a matter of fact, she said some of the foolishness that they used to do. But in order for us to be protected, we had to stay together. Every time someone went outside of that protection by themselves, they wind up in the hospital. Some of them wind up dead, and some of them almost died because they left their protection. Well, that's what, I'm not advocating that, all right? But I'm advocating that if God is your protection, and God is your keeper, when you get outside of God, where is your protection? Where is your keeping power? Amen. I just use that physical example to show you that in order for God to keep you, you got to stay in God. Well, you know what's so good about God? The Bible says he is merciful. Even when we mess up, God said, I'm not going to let them completely destroy you because I'm God. And I realize that you don't understand what you're doing. He says, I'm going to keep you in spite of it. Amen. You ever been somewhere? I know it's happened to me. I was somewhere and the people next to me got shot up, but God kept me. But I was in the wrong place because God is a keeper. Even when we mess up, God will keep us. Somebody said, well, why would God keep you when you mess up? You ever think about that? Why would God keep you when you mess up? Because he's in us. God's in us. His spirit is in us. So God said, you messed up, but I'm still with you. Even though you're trying to turn your back on me, God said, I'm with you. He said, because I am in you. So everybody else has been destroyed, God said, even though you deserve destruction. Because the wages of sin is death. God said, but I'm going to give you a gift because I am in you. And that gift of God is eternal life. All right, let me finish this up. I said, let's stay on the course. Verse 24 says this. So we got to keep ourselves where? In God. Then when you say in God, it says, then unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Right? When you say in God, he's able to do what? Keep you from falling. Somebody said, well, how can God not keep me? Because you did not stay in the love of God. You didn't stay in him. And then when things went bad, your whole situation fell apart. Why? Because you took it upon your own self. And you did not stay in God. Let's go to first. Actually, let's go to 2 Peter first. 2 Peter and Jude pretty much marry each other as far as scripture is concerned. Let's just go to 2 Peter for one quick moment. We're going to read just a couple of verses of scripture here in 2 Peter. Now, I don't debate a lot of stuff. A lot of people say, once saved, always saved. Once God saved you, you can just live any kind of way because you want to make it to heaven. Anybody heard that?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you got your eternal security, right? Well, look. How do you know if God's word says something, nobody in this world can change it? Yeah. Now, they can believe it, but it won't change it because they're not contending for the faith. Amen? It says, verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, watch out for false teachers, who privily means they crept in. Right? Jews said they crept in. They privily shall be in what? Damnable heresies. And what else are they going to do? Even deny. So Jews said they crept in unaware, and because they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they deny the law. So they mirror each other because he's telling you, when people teach you contrary to the word of God, it's not the truth. And when you believe something that's not the truth in the word of God, you deny the Lord. Amen?
So deny the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil. Now let's get down to verse 4. Alright, we're back on these angels again. Amen. God said, listen, I love you. I created you and I made you, but I created the angels. And he said they're reserved unto eternal judgment in chains until the day that I come back. Now he's back again on the angels. If angels disobeyed God, and the Bible said every sin and every disobedience receives a just recompense and reward, what happened when we disobey God? So, well, I don't believe that. You can believe whatever you want. God's word won't change for you and it won't change for me. That's one thing the Bible said, the word of the God shall be this, it shall endure until the end. It will not change. Amen. For if God, verse 4, spared not the angels, that angels sinned, yes. Well, what was the sin? They disobeyed God. God does not like disobedience. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know what God says, but just my flesh. No, just be obedient. Amen. But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the end person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of... He's still talking about people that are ungodly. People say, well, they can live ungodly and make it. God said, these are your examples not to follow. Ungodly, he said, condemn them with an overthrowing, making them an example unto them, those that afterwards should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, dance with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, what, how can God deliver Lot? He was in the midst of all of that mess and confusion. Why did God deliver Lot? Because Lot stayed in his love. Even though everything was going all around him, Lot stayed in it. Well, how do we know? It says, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that, he was right in the eyes of God. Don't you let nobody turn you around. Don't compromise with anybody. Stay with God. Be with God. Be right in God's eyes. That the righteous man dwell among them, and seeing and hearing, vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. All that ungodly stuff. Bible said we in the world, but God is able to keep us in the world. God is able to keep you in Rome if you have a right spirit. God can keep you when everything else is going around if you stay right with him. Lot was righteous. And it said because Lot was righteous, the Lord knows how. I said the Lord knows how to live a godly attitude. So no matter what's going on around you, stay with God. And God knows how to deliver you out of temptation. Can we say thank you, Jesus? But for those that say, well, I can just live any kind of way, it doesn't make a difference. Let's go down to verse 20. I don't care what anybody teaches you. If it's contrary to God's word, don't you embrace that. Don't you buy that. Amen. Because those are false teachers. Verse 20 said, for if the after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, if they have the knowledge, that means they're what? Saved. Can we all agree with that? If they have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means they are what? They are saved. And they are again. So God saved and delivered them out of the world. Now all of a sudden they're back in the world. He said, you had a knowledge. So if you have a knowledge, that means you were saved. Now, after God delivers you out of that, you go back and entangle and overcome. He said, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And Jesus said it this way. He said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it wanders through high and dry places seeking rest. And when it can't find any rest, he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to the house
that was swept in garments that God cleaned out. And when that spirit comes back, it brings seven more spirits more with it. You ever see people get saved and after they go back in the world, you say, wow, you're worse now than you ever was because God cleaned them. But when they open themselves up, they open themselves up to a spirit that was worse than before. For it says, verse 21 says, For if it had been better for them not to have known, it says, it's better than for you to have not known how to be saved. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. He said, it would be better. Well, if once saved, always saved, if you had the knowledge, you were saved. But he said it would be better, right? He said, but verse 22 said, when it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit, and the soul that was washed is wallowing in the mire. So don't believe what I say, always say. You still got to stay in God. You still got to do your part in God. And we'll close here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to go to a few verses here. Amen. God can keep you, but he can't keep you if you don't do what you have to do. You can't be saved and live like a hellion and think God's going to keep you. Somebody said, well, I don't have to do all that pain. I only do a little bit this and a little bit that. What did Adam and Eve do? Who did they shoot? Did they shoot anybody? Adam and Eve? Did Adam and Eve get caught up in drugs and addictions? Did Adam commit adultery? So what did they do? All they did was disobey God. Right? Oh, so wait a minute. We like to place premium on this sin is worse than that sin. When you disobey God, stop placing weights. Stop placing degrees. Disobedience is disobedience. God said, I can't let you stay in this place. Because if I let you stay disobedience in this place, you can go either the tree of life or live forever. Listen, if you're disobedient and I let you stay and I don't correct you or do something to correct your wrong, you think you can eat from the tree of life and live like that forever in your sinful condition. So God said, I'm going to protect the way to the tree of life. Well, what's going to keep us from the tree of life? Disobedience. So God protects the way to the tree of life. Well, how do we get to the tree? We got to be obedient. Verse 4 reads, to an inheritance incorruptible and don't let nothing defile. Don't let nothing mess you up. You got to be incorruptible. Amen. That means you don't allow anyone to mess up your soul or your spirit. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, revered to him. Who are kept by the? We're kept by. It's not by willpower. It's not by our own might. Paul writes in Colossians, he said, willpower can do a little, but willpower cannot save you. Amen. So we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the. Wait ye greatly, rejoice, so therefore, seeing if thee be your end, heaven is too manifold. Truth. Well, why is God allowing me to go through all of this? That the trial of your, you got to contend for the faith. It's not going to be easy. That the trial of your faith, which is what? Much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. God allowing you to go through what you're going through so that he can get glory out of your situation as we all stand. You might think that God doesn't know what he's doing. And there are many times, unfortunately, in our humanity, we think we can outsmart God. God is omniscient. I mean, God is all-knowing. Amen. We are limited. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. What we need to do is learn to be obedient. Somebody said, well, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't fornicate. But are you obedient? He said, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in all. How can you stay, as the elders and ministers and all the workers come forward, how can you stay in God by disobeying God? How can you stay in God if you disobey God? And then when we leave and do things in our disobedience, our whole world comes crumbling down. And then we get mad at God. God says, you know what? I can help you, but you got to get back in me. Like, you got to stop running from me. You got to stop believing every lie. You got to stop believing false teachers and false prophets. God's word is unchangeable. It is unmutable. The scripture says, whereby two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Believe God in his word. God can keep you, but you have to want to be kept. Not a sympathy or emotional thing. You know, I come to church, I run to God. Then when I leave out, I do the same disobedience, the same wrong thing I was doing before, I go do it again. How can God keep you if you're not obedient? God can keep you ever yet if you want to be kept. Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. He's a keeper.